depressed skull fractures, mothers. You know, some of them were his family members, others were just others and his neighbors. And luckily, our team was there from Imana and Heal Palestine. We partnered with Heal Palestine in this mission, and we were able to work along and help save some lives that night. But what hurts me is that every day this is happening, and every day there are innocent people losing their lives.
Dr. Elahi, I wanted to get your final comment and your message as you come back to your practice in Charlotte, North Carolina, how this has changed you and what you'll be telling the medical community here.
I will say from 2019's experience and our current experience just now, what you'll realize from the people in Gaza is they just want the world to know and understand what they're going through. You heard it in this gentleman's voice that he's just expressing a plea to the world to provide help to the people of Gaza, see what's happening there. And when I come back to the comfort of my home and the comfort of my family and the comfort of a modern healthcare system, it is really difficult to understand what's happening. I think we just have to open our eyes, share with the world what's happening there, and open our hearts for them.
Dr. Azim Elahi and Dr. Ismail Mer, back from volunteering Gaza's European Hospital with the Amana Medical Relief Team. That does it for our show. A happy early birthday to Dennis Moynihan. Democracy Now! Produced with a remarkable team. I thank them all. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Ah, the flowers are blooming, the birds are singing, and KBOO's spring membership drive is back. If you enjoy alternative radio that pushes the status quo, then support KBOO by becoming a member today. Donate online at kboo.fm/give between now and May 25th and support Avant-Garde Airwaves.
KBOO's board is recruiting directors. In preparation for our annual board election in September, KBOO's nominating committee will be holding virtual information sessions from now through June. KBOO's Board of Directors guides the station's strategic plan and represents the interests and visions of all of our members. BIPOC persons are especially encouraged to apply. More information and meeting times can be found at kboo.fm/board recruiting. Thank you for considering board work at KBOO.
Oh, what a world! KBOO 90.7. Dasha T said that.
Good morning. You're listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland. We're KBOO's most listened to radio show at 8 a.m. on Fridays when we are on. My name is Tammy. I'm with Althea, and you can never take that away from us.
Yeah, exactly. What's going on with me? Why do I sound so strange? Hang on. Wait, we plugged everything in over here? Okay, we're plugged in.
Yep, there it is.
Hey!
No, live radio. It's that sunshine. We're getting
The visibility? See, in the mountains, they were gone for a couple of days.
Oh, you saw
that?
I didn't notice it.
I blow them a little kiss when I see them. I do.
That's nice.
Thank you for making us a part of your morning. This is The Gap. We like to do a two-parter type of show for talk radio hour. That's what this is.
We're trying to stop us from talking.
Okay. The first half, oftentimes we're doing an interview. Today we've got a news roundup for you. And in the second half, after our midway song, we'll be getting into our community question where you can call in and chat with us about the topic of the day. And boy, if there isn't just a zillion things to talk about.
I thought I had the flyer with me. I know exactly where it is. I got in the mail a flyer.
Uh-huh.
It had a bunch of pictures, angry pictures of pills in baggies.
Yeah.
And
I'll pull up the photos that you
sent me so
we can refer to them. This is a pro Mike Schmidt flyer.
I was shocked. I thought it was an anti-Mike Schmidt flyer.
Mike Schmidt knows fentanyl changed everything.
It was a very bizarre flyer that I got. I got in the mail. I was looking around. I said, oh, gosh, here it is. Here's the hate mail coming, like the negative ads coming from Mike Schmidt. Little did I realize it was a Mike Schmidt paid for advertisement.
Yeah.
Basically, like, ragging on fentanyl. And there's parts where it's like, Mike Schmidt's been saying the fentanyl is bad the whole time. No one's been listening to him. And I'm like, I don't know how true that. I don't know.
I wouldn't say it's one of his core issues.
Or at least up until this point.
It
was very much like, okay, who are you trying to, who are you trying to pander for this one? Like, who is this for?
You ever seen pills in a bag?
It was so scary. I was just like, oh, did I get a delivery? What is this? It was just so, I thought it was like a Republican ad going against Mike Schmidt. Like, that's how aggressive it was. That's the only word, aggressive advertisement.
It's also always interesting, like, the size of these flyers,
because
it's kind of cardstock, but it's, like, on a piece of letter paper.
Mm.
Is that how big yours was?
It was, and as you can see, the E and the G is cut off, so someone at Canva wasn't doing that right. But I thought it was just so bizarre, and I looked at it didn't say, you know, usually if it's just, like, an advertisement that goes everywhere, it says Dear Resident, but it had a name of someone who used to live where I live now. And I was just like, what is this person signed up to that he's getting this mailer?
Yeah.
And, you know, a little bit investigating. By looking a little bit closer, I was trying to see, like, who paid for it, who's co-signing on it. So it seemed like the International Brotherhood of Teamsters is co-signing on this. So, yeah, it kind of gives me this kind of undecided... I don't feel like any of the progressives are really speaking to me. There we go.
They're speaking to me. Do not be. I'm not confused about that point.
It was, and I'm just wondering if other people got this specific mail. I'm just wondering what is it you signed up to that you're getting this mailer. I found it interesting, and I have it hanging up. I think I put it right back in the mailbox. I was so shocked by it.
I have a really big mailer from, I want to say, like 2020.
Mm.
That was like the Metro bond, or like the TriMet bond.
Ooh.
And it's this, but it's a cool poster, and it's like a toy Godzilla like stomping on the city, and I just still it's in my kitchen.
Some of these advertisements, I think we're going to see a lot of really interesting advertisements this year. For
I always forget that that's like part of what is going
to
happen in
that's
the
where the,
season.
The millions go to is
just
like doing
bombarded.
Ads. Ask Middle America, like, you know, like the Midwest or the Middle America, they're
the swing states
try to get
brother
them. They can't even stop it.
They can't reach the bills in the mailbox. It's still full of other junk.
Speaking of can't even reach, is that a good segue? I don't know.
Okay. I'll hear you out.
Ted Wheeler is proposing a new fiscal budget, a budget for the fiscal year, excuse me, not fiscal, fiscal budget, for the rest of the year into 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So that's big news. People have been waiting for it. Some interesting things are going to be funded. So partially Portland Street Response will keep its funding. It won't get what it needs to expand, which is not great, but at least
it's not getting cut.
Yeah, but they're struggling, you know. But yes, it's not getting cut. It needed the $3 million to sustain itself, and they're going to be getting it, as well as the fire department, which both fall under Renee Gonzalez, but Portland Street Response is housed in the fire department, which no one seems to be happy about, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm curious about where we're at on the moving it out of their business.
Well, now that they have a little bit of money, maybe they can pay the
moving
costs.
Maybe that's like a next year thing when the new city government starts. Give it its own.
There is some of the other stuff. So atop of the police department, excuse me, the fire department is also going to get some of the funds.
They had a big hole in their budget.
Yes.
$11 million.
Which was mostly for overtime. And so Ted is also, Ted Mayor
My boy
Wheeler,
Ted.
is also recommending hiring 10 firefighters to ease overtime costs, but to and also to continue the community health assesses and treat pilot. Oh my God, assess and treat pilot for at least another year.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as CHAT, which sends medics rather than firefighters to certain areas, especially when it is going to go help residents who are known to be, and this is, I'm quoting this from the article, to help certain Portland residents who are known to be huge users of 911 and emergency room visits. That's an odd way of phrasing it.
What's going on, Oregon Live?
I think you can just say people who frequently call 911 or frequently visit the emergency room. It's not an English class, but it's just a bizarre, very bizarre way of doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, huge that. User.
Huge user of 911.
I'm a huge user of 911.
Gotta get it in there.
I love those numbers. I dial them on my phone.
Light it up.
Yeah, it feels like kind of lampshading for.
Yeah,
just I don't the, like. I don't is know that what, is that what they say that they're about? Just for people who use it a lot, it's the frequent flyer program.
I'm a huge user.
I love 911. I wish they would get an app. That'd be so cool.
But also, like, what would they call people who are, like, arsonists? Like, they'd be people who really love fire. Like, this is a really...
I'm a huge proponent of fire.
And also, it is illegal. Just kidding. Also, it's not like, real. Not... You can't just call, you know, call 911 and just do, like, a fake emergency call. That's against the law. But also, CHAT has helped people who have experienced, like, overdoses outside of Old Town. So, you know... It's better to direct the resources in a way that's, you know, that's more directed. But he's also going to be, there's a lot of the, I'm really interested in the way he's allocating these funds. He's doing it. It's like he was been listening to people and it's kind of like he knows he's out. So he's just going to do some like pretty decent things before he leaves. Like, why couldn't he do it before? It's like that whenever there's an elected person, you know, like Obama, it's like, why couldn't you do like this, some of this before? Like, why did we have to wait the day before you were leaving in order for you to like leave like a gay marriage or something? Mm. Like, or, you know,
take a stand, anyways. You know? Yeah.
Another thing that people are super, something that's huge is that he's opening up a budget for two new kind of programs. One is Portland Solutions, which the funds for this program will go to existing program like Safe Rest Village, Impact Reduction Program, Street Services Coordination Center, the Joint Offices for Homeless Services, and Bureau of Transportation. So to kind of help the livability of people in the city, which, you know, I mean, those money can help. He also announced another creation of the Portland Permitting and Development Bureau, which is currently under Commissioner Carmen Rubio, and quoting from the article, the Bureau aims to streamline the city's Byzantine and almost universally loathed system for commercial and residential building permits, which currently spans 7 years separate.
Seven separate agencies?
Oh, brother. And that's like a huge thing that we always hear from people who want to do things that are... low-income housing or affordable housing or anything like that. Yeah. They're like, the permitting in Portland is terrible. So, big, that's huge.
Yeah.
And some other things that... some of the allocation from the Portland Clean Energy Fund, made it, he shared what he was going to do with it. Interesting
saving
stuff.
Saving the city.
Interesting stuff. I mean, it does... there is going to be an increase of, for example... support of EV charging station within city fleet. That's 29 million for city operations, community and economic development, 176 million, decarbonized work and community-based renewable energy. So all of the things definitely fall under, you know, restorations or, you know, just trying to get things more green. Mm. Are we still saying more green? More efficient.
Yeah.
More efficient. Yeah. So
we're using more specific language because... greenwashing.
And some more money to go into community
like renewable fuels. We're so efficiency. Excited about it. It's like, bud, no.
It's all falling under the green umbrella.
Mm.
But that's what, and some more stuff. But I think
I think the full budget is coming out later today. So
I think you may have popped it open this morning.
Oh,
where do we see? I got this.
Well,
what time did they post this from the Portland? oh no, this is from yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're going to be getting it Friday morning. So, pretty interesting.
At least Portland Street Response.
Street Response lives to fight another day.
Lives to fight another day. Mm-hmm. That's definitely, you said it. Lives to fight.
That's, yeah. And it's unfortunate that that's the most that we can expect at this point. You know?
When the feds would pay for it if it ran 24 hours.
Joanne Hardesty would pick up the phone. She'd tell him she worked with, I mean, Ron Wyden apparently also knows how to do this.
Pick up the phone?
Figure out how to fund Street Response in an ongoing way. But what would you...
At least they are getting, exactly like you said, get to live, fight another day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see with this new form of government, maybe what, I don't know, maybe some, they'll, I don't know.
They're taking the reins, you mm-hmm. know? So,
would that fall under the city administrator moving forward? Or
yeah,
that?
It would be the city administrator and the mayor kind of. I mean, I think that they'll be proposing the budget, but mm-hmm. then it'll have to be passed by council.
Mm. Pretty it's big things.
Like a real government. Just sort of like how you would think that it would work, except that right now it doesn't. But, you know, next year maybe it will.
Live and learn.
Speaking of tax dollars,
there's this really troubling OPB article about the IRS kind of conducting race-based audits. I really don't have too much to say about it. I just thought it was so outrageous that I was like, I got to share this with everyone that I know. And they found in a study that was with university researchers and the Treasury Department that IRS data-driven algorithms select black taxpayers for auditing at up to 4.7 times rate as non-black taxpayers. The study says IRS disproportionately audits people who claim the earned income tax credit, which is aimed at low to moderate income workers and families, while black taxpayers account for 21% of the claims for that break. They were the focus of 43% of the audits concerning that credit.
That's more than double, just for the people at home. More than double the proportion they are getting audited for taking the earned income tax credit. And also, I mean, I think there's another component of this that I just picked up on, you know, because we had talked about this earlier. IRS data-driven algorithms.
These algies.
We have to ask questions about the algorithm, you know, and see how it plays out in practice. Because something you told the algorithm, whether you know you told it that or not, is looking for black taxpayers five times the rate for getting audited. And, you know, there is this, like, course correction happening at the IRS where they're supposed to be spending more time going after high-income earners who are actually doing, I don't know if anybody's ever said this phrase, meaningful tax fraud, but...
if you thought, like, that was bad, that's bad, you know, point blank period, but... They're exactly what you're saying, that the IRS is going to be focusing next year to conduct higher rates of audits on what they're phrasing is wealthy tax cheats.
There we go.
After having collected hundreds of millions of back taxes this year. Like, they're literally like, why are you going after? Going to get an extra $500 or something? An extra $550?
How dare you claim the earned income tax credit? You should have paid us.
This is unbelievable.
There's a $20. Actually, there's a $20 discrepancy.
You know,
that's what they're doing.
It continues here to saying that obviously collecting tax is the agency's biggest challenge. Don't ask. I'll give you that Wesley Snipes quote.
What my biggest challenge is?
The audit rate for millionaires fell by more than 70% from 2010 to 2019, and the rates on large corporations dropped more than 50%.
We got to get incorporated. You know, we're always in escrow, but are we incorporated? Save ourselves a lot of headache.
What about an out-corporated?
Whoa, okay. Write that down. Maybe that's something.
The IRS plans to raise audit rates on companies with assets above $250 million to 22.6% in 2026.
Okay.
It's so gross. Yeah. Data-driven algorithms. Althea, you knocked it out of the park.
Paying
attention to the details. That's where we are. Speaking of paying attention to the details.
Yes.
go on ahead.
We're so good on segues today. I'm loving this. Sorry, I ruined the segue by getting excited about the segue. But people, Urban Alchemy is found to have violated Portland lobbying rules. And Tammy and I called it! In 2022, if you were listening to this show, we were talking about this. We were talking about this all the time, about them potentially, I mean, just that, not that we were like, they're violating lobbying rules, because we weren't looking at the disclosures. But we were asking questions about, like, this seems suspect. We were identifying that it was suspect. That it was a closed bid, that Urban Alchemy was, you know, up here from talking California. To people, and that this entire model was, like, based off of a business from California that started, like, a year ago.
A hand washing thing.
And so, you know, just, and had grown exponentially, and was, you know, making friends. I was doing something with my hands, but, you know, making friends at City Hall and flying people out. And so, wouldn't you know it, they violated lobbying rules. Now, here's the thing. Does this mean that they're getting kicked out of the city? No, I think it's like it's a little fine, but it is, you know, a part of this whole sort of like checkered history that Urban Alchemy has throughout, you know, all of the places that they're running these shelter sites.
Yeah, and here, you know,
you feel like given an I told you so.
We
know it.
I don't mess with lobbyists. That's what I learned.
All right, interesting.
But yes, if you've been courting a government in the way that they have, that's what you do as a lobbyist. It seemed pretty clear. But I wonder if this will. I mean, they've been on the radar for a while, alongside with, like, you know, allegations of drug distribution and some violence. There was, I think, Portland, here in Portland. So I think I don't know, I think who's watching the watchers is, someone is, because, you know, they're getting fined.
They're getting written up. For the record, any attempt to influence city officials must be reported once the, you know, entity spends more than $1,000 on lobbying or more than 8 hours within 3 months. So Urban Alchemy did not report that. City Auditor Simone Reed, your fave, this is a quote from her. Lobbying regulations serve to build trust in the city's decision by shining a light on outside efforts to influence city officials. More transparency was needed from Urban Alchemy in this case. And then also in her report, the investigation showed that for nearly 9 months, Urban Alchemy communicated with the city and devoted substantial resources to convince city officials that this was best positioned to be awarded the alternative shelter contract. To speak nothing of that other quote unquote contractor that bid for it, but also doesn't exist anymore, and maybe did it exist. Anyway, just a little, just adding it to the board of things that we were right about.
There was a couple of things. You know, when you're an astute,
say what you're going to say.
An astute observer of the human condition.
Yeah, you know, put a microphone in front of people. They start figuring it out.
But speaking of the public trust.
Speaking of figuring it out.
Figuring out the public trust.
Oregon Governor Tina Kotek is backtracking on creating an office of the first spouse.
I was looking forward to it.
They were going to have their own seal, probably. We could have been looking forward to that.
Would they really?
Probably.
Well,
darn.
Not anymore.
Shoot. We don't get that anymore. Yeah. Basically, pretty big public pushback, scrutiny, certainly, because while it is kind of a thing in other states that the first spouse has a role to play or is doing stuff, not really the case in Oregon, and the only one in recent memory led to the governor resigning. So people are understandably wary about this, and about four of Tina Kotek's top aides.
Insider, yeah, that's.
We're out as this started moving forward. And, you know, eventually Kotek requested for the Government Ethics Commission to better look into it. Haven't gotten those results back yet, but she's saying, you know, I'm backing off, not focused on it.
Yeah, it was two that that quit before the announcement and then two that quit after, like, most recently.
Yeah, or they're like I'm on leave or getting reassigned to a different department.
Oh, and on top of it, so two, so four left, and then two are on leave or something here, right?
That's what I said here. There's a lot of the people who've been in it with Tina for the past year are now out. And even people who were, like, on her team since when she was a legislator, you know, for, like, a long time. Leaving over this issue, and then she, you know, she was saying at the time, like, oh no, this is all just a coincidence, like, it doesn't mean anything. And then, of course, all of the emails come out that show quite a bit of back and forth with those advisors, you know, wanting guidance and not understanding kind of what these lines are, because you know, Tina Kotek's spouse, Amy Kotek Wilson, is not elected. It doesn't mean that she doesn't have something to say, but she's not elected.
Well, if she would like to say something so the good people can hear, KBOO Community Radio is volunteer-driven, powered.
Give us a few minutes. You can call in. We'd love to hear from you. Can I? Should I read the Daily Mail headline about this?
Oh, my God. It's so messed up.
It's twisting that. But I just, you know, because we do try to, I mean, I don't know if, this is not a headline that a person who knows what they're talking about would write, or like, it's very pointed. Here's the headline. This is about Tina Kotek, backtracking on this. Shamed Oregon governor axes plans for taxpayer funded role for her mentally ill alcoholic wife.
Jesus. Oh my God. Someone had to raise that person in order for them to feel comfortable saying that to the public and write it down. Like, someone raised someone to think that's okay to do. Yeah. They're in an environment where they think it's okay to talk like this about on public. Like, I get it behind closed doors, and I get it when you're kidding around. I get it when it's comedy. I understand. But if you call yourself, I don't know if they call themselves a news publication, that's like, I'd be like, what? What did she do to you? Did she offend you personally? Like, you took that...
Sniffing out a scandal.
Right? Doesn't it feel like it's like a personal attack? Like,
oh my gosh, yeah. Well,
and like, it took two people to write that article.
But I think also, like, I don't know, it just really makes me notice the language that is, like, to activate you and get you, like, what's going on?
Like the outrage language.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not an Oregon publication. Not to say that, you know, or all Oregon publications have respect, but, like... It is a way, I think, to get people who don't care about Tina Kotek or Oregon government to be like, what the hell is going on over
right,
there?
Right, and it, like, feeds into this thing of, like, you know, these cities are falling apart.
This liberal bastion is falling apart. And to take these things that, like, mentally ill, alcoholic wife, like, these are things that Amy Kotek Wilson has talked about, you know, experience with mental illness and with substance use disorder in terms of alcohol as, like, part of her involvement and interest in, you know, Measure 110 and improving, like, behavioral health and substance use treatment in Oregon. And then to, like, take that and, like, I don't know. Look, we don't know the full narrative that's out there. This is something else. I don't know that this is the narrative.
Do you think that... it kind of, you know, when you were younger and there was, like, the like, a friend you used to be friends with, you know, like, kindergarten, middle school stuff, and you're, like, not friends anymore, so they take everything you said and they, like, use it against you, and they're like, well, you have to sleep with a night lamp. I don't know. Yeah. I can't think of anything. And you're just scared of the dark, and all of a sudden it's like, I shared my deepest, darkest secret with you.
Yeah.
And so that to bond us, I've had a vulnerable moment. I wanted to explain myself. And you're using it against me. That gives that vibe. If you don't have anything nice to say, I want to hear it. But
doesn't mean you should write it down.
It's maybe like really you really like imagine someone finished writing that. Oh yeah, that was good. Like
got her.
And then they had to edit. I blame the editor. The editors always want to have.
Yeah,
the
editors are the ones doing the headlines. It could be okay journalism down there, but I mean, it's the Daily Mail. Look, I'm being generous.
I was judging a book by its
cover. They're not Pulitzer Prize winning.
Not yet. Maybe after we read this article.
Maybe this is the one that really breaks it down.
It's really terrible. But, you know, I'll say the same thing for other articles when you have very, 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 very progressive
outlets, and they do some of the stuff too sometimes.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, dude, come on, like, you're not gonna win a Pulitzer with that, you know? Like,
right. Well, and I think it's just worth asking the question, like, what is the goal of from like learning this, from reading this and learning and because of the article, and right, you know, we know clickbait is a thing. But is it sort of like solutions journalism? Is it putting this issue in context? Is it, you know, like trying to understand or from public records, like get what it is that, you know, the Oregon state government is doing? Or is it to freak out? You know, is it to freak out? Do you want to freak out or do you want to know what's going on?
I think a lot of us, we're at a threshold of feeling. So we're just, I think a lot of us are... we don't feel, we're just reacting a lot of times to things, and maybe this is a way of being like using words to like try to evoke a feeling when we're all of us are like kind of overwhelmed inside, you know?
Yeah. I also feel like there's a little sprinkle of homophobia in here. I just caught a whiff of it, you know?
Oh, I mean, you know, all right. I mean, there's nothing good in this no. title, that's for sure.
nobody's you know, defending the Daily Mail here.
They did choose great pictures, though.
Oh, you like the pictures?
I like the pictures.
Well, yeah. Tammy looked at the other girl and she's like, they look so cute here.
They do. And they have one with Kamala.
Oh,
sitting
okay.
there talking about coconut trees.
Not there, falling out of the coconut tree.
It was great pictures, but not a great article, though.
Okay, should we do a couple quick mentions before the Midway song?
Sure thing.
Monday, there was a freight train derailment on the Steel Bridge.
Ugh.
Brother, it was a close one. so close to disaster, because guess what? It was carrying propane. And, you know, East Palestine, Ohio derailment, that was last year. And this is, you know, just so connected to, like, even the photos, it's like the first one that didn't fall off the track was the propane one. It's extremely dangerous, people, and this is also it's related to Zenith,
exactly.
It's related to so many things. It's the Steel Bridge is a very important bridge, especially for transit. It was closed for quite a while as they were trying to, you know, like, it fell against the girders of the bridge.
Oh, that's not good.
Anyway,
it's not clear what caused the derailment, they're saying. They're like, but they're very common.
They're like, well, we're having derailments all the time, and so, there's yet less than there used to be, but don't freak out about a train. It's like, oh, maybe I needed to be in the loop. I mean, I'm worried about this.
I didn't realize that the derailments were such, like, it says it happens about 3 times every day. Then why are we transporting, like, deadly chemical, toxic chemicals on them?
Right.
Like, we're kind of...
Is that more or less safe than by truck? I'm so confused.
I might as well get a Postmates driver to do it. I mean, I'm telling you, that's going to be safer. But this is, if they know... And the Zenith is only going to increase their production, what they're doing, and their transportation. So,
and we just handed it to them
after everyone was like, "No, we don't want it." And then they got some people got flued out.
Or yeah,
got some
illegal lobbying happening.
Was it a yacht? What was it? A boat?
It was like the boat crews of the Willamette. They were like, "Hello, Dan Ryan. Have I got a cruise deal for you?" And all it'll take is handing us the keys to the city. Can you do it? He says, you want me to jump? He says, how high?
It's very bizarre.
Anyway, just letting you know that happened. But in more positive news.
No one did get hurt.
Oh, nobody got hurt. I think the bridge is also maybe fine. I say maybe because I'm not 100%.
We'll go check afterwards.
Sure. I don't fully know for sure. Okay, but yes, in slightly more positive news before we go to the Midway song, the Powerball jackpot winner has been revealed in Oregon. Our own Oregon guy.
It's the second time.
Second time that an Oregonian has won?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, identity revealed, he has cancer.
Althea's going to start crying.
No.
I saw it in your eyes. You did?
It's a nice story, okay?
It is. It's an amazing story.
Really nice
story. What are the chances? It's this really such an amazing...
They
should make a movie out of it.
They really should.
They should.
It's this married couple who emigrated from Laos in the 90s. You know, I mean, I don't know if he was working at Boeing, but he's like in that kind of tech world, has two kids, and was diagnosed with cancer in 2016, and, you know, it's going to take the lump sum. So instead of it, you know, I can't get into all the tax parts of it. $1.3 billion prize comes out to about $422 mil if you take the lump sum. So, you know, what do you think?
This is awesome. I hope that just good things come from this. What I mean, just to think of what would be the chances of this happening, and, you know, hopefully he can pay for his treatments now and not have to work, you know, invest it in himself, in his community,
in his family,
You did that. Like that's an unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
It's a great story. Yay!
It's pretty cool. And good for. Oh, I guess the store is also going to get a little something. Yeah, something.
The plaid.
Oh wait, was this the same guy from last time? Is that?
Yeah. Oh, this is like, okay, found out.
I thought it was another one. I was like, damn, I'm gonna start filling out the lot of people winning left and right.
I don't know if it's. I mean, the odds are very low. That's one of the things they tell you about gambling. One of the things they tell you about the lottery. A 1 in a million story.
It is one in a 1.3 billion story.
Right, so true.
If you won half of that, what would you do? First thing you do
with the 420
first thing
you do.
First thing.
I am getting out of here.
No, I'm like, Disney World.
I'm going on vacation. I don't know.
Like somewhere sunny.
Maybe, yeah. I think like first thing, as soon as the check.
Clears.
As soon as it clears, right? We're booking airline tickets, but then we're like going to the nice grocery store and we're buying.
Ooh.
We're buying anything that looks good.
Oh, think of all the kombucha.
I've never even been to Zupan's, but I feel so like if I won the lottery, kombucha.
What is this called?
Zupan's? You don't know about Zupan's?
I don't think
it's
I'm
like
in the bracket.
It's like the Whole Foods of Whole Foods.
Oh,
no. Sherry, our board op is saying that it's overrated, but in the event that I had $422 million in my pocket.
Everyone's getting kombucha.
I buy the whole store.
Oh!
I've never been in, but I'm ready.
You can just have people come in. Ooh, and you can have your own like grocery store sweepstakes.
Nobody's doing that. Nobody's winning the lottery and doing their own supermarket sweep.
Shen, we're calling you out. We're asking you grocery store sweepstakes.
Yeah.
You know, you can do it at the Safeway.
Yeah.
There's try to get toilet paper these days, $13-14.
They'll let you run in the Safeway if you have that much money.
I would do
sprinting
that.
Down the aisles, just like sweeping things into your basket.
I was thinking I'd buy a house, but no, I want to do the grocery store sweepstakes.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of money. You could do both
For everyone. Like, I want
everybody. Everybody's getting groceries for a month.
I like this.
I'm buying a house. That's it.
A big trampoline in the middle of Pioneer Square.
with our money combined, we could put a trampoline in the middle of Pioneer Square. What would you do? Sorry, let me not.
Oh, I told you, I wasn't gonna buy a house, but no, now I'm going to do the grocery store.
Yeah.
And go to the Panda Bear. What the Panda Pog? What do you call it?
Zupans.
Panda Zoo.
We're going to the zoo and we're visiting the pandas.
I would release all of the pandas from the
Whoa,
zoo.
Okay.
I would all the and ugh, don't get me started. I would be so irresponsible. It's better not. Well, better not. I'll just do the one thing. Get a house.
Right. That's super. That makes a lot of sense. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Are we ready for a little?
I think we
midway
are.
Song. Okay. This is The Gap. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. We're gonna take a quick musical break. When we come back, the community question. Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
we are back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. Moving on to the second part of the show, here is the community question. Althea, do you want to introduce it?
We're taking a step back to look at context, to look at scope.
Because we didn't come from a coconut tree.
We famously, yes. Many have alleged that we did, but ultimately we exist in the context of everything in which you live and what came before. Is that right? wise words.
Are you reading my back tattoo?
Dude, it'd be such a good tat. We want to know, what are things that have changed in your lifetime that you never thought would? Or, you know, what were you protesting for in your youth? 503-231-8187 is the number if you would like to chat with us. You can message us on the website, kboo.fm. There's a little button that says chat with us. Click on it. Type in there. I would love to hear what you have to say. You can message us on Instagram. @TheGapRadio is our handle, and you can email us, thegapradio@gmail.com.
You can also steal our identities by using the Social Security
hang numbers. Hang on. Whoa. Roll that back.
I kid. Obviously, been a lot of protesting happening, and it's a lot of saying, well, this is just like in this era and that era, and it's like, well, this is radio. There's a lot of different, the age range of people who listen to radio is just vast, so... wondering for the older people, younger people, what did it look like? What's something that's changed in your lifetime that you never thought would? And what are you rooting for in your youth? And did it happen?
Yeah. 503-231-8187. Should I mention the thing about Wikipedia really quick? Mike, this is just related to our previous segment about Daily Mail. Mike mentioned this on Instagram. Wikipedia geeks know that editors can't use the Daily Mail for citations, and there's an article about Wikipedia banning Daily Mail for poor fact-checking and sensationalism, flat-out fabrication. Sensationalism, there's the word. I feel like that's the word that we were missing in the last segment.
The yellow journalism on peaking.
Yeah.
It's peaking.
Golden journalism. Like, what's yellow but more, Golden sounds good. Okay. I understand we have a caller. Hi, caller. You're on air with us.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes. What's your name?
Edie.
Oh, hey, Edie.
I was a young child and began, and I have never ended, protesting against domestic violence and for everything that would prevent it and help people heal from it. When I was 10 years old, I began protesting against pipelines and trapping wolves and war, and trying to tell people that racism against anyone hurts everyone. And for the last 60 or so years, I have been protesting against genocide in various places, but including the apartheid genocide in Palestine. For those who want to join me in being anti-genocide and pro free speech and free and pro public education and integrity of our academics, please show up at the Multnomah County Courthouse at the west side of the Hawthorne Bridge in time in solidarity with the PSU anti-genocide encampment protester arrestees at 9 a.m. and at 2 p.m. today.
Well, thank you, Edie. We appreciate the shout-out.
Yeah. That's glad to hear that you're still out there doing the thing.
Yeah.
Love it.
Gap listeners connecting, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fine.
Give money to the community jail support fund. It's been around for decades. Unfortunately, we keep having to...
Oh, we may have lost you there, Edie. That is A-okay, but we appreciate the call. Of course, if other folks want to call, we are talking about what are some things that have changed in your lifetime that you never thought would, or what were you protesting for in your youth? 503-231-8187 is the number. We'd love to hear from you. Sounds like we have Tawasi on air with us. Hi, Tawasi.
Good morning. I originally called in to talk about protesting, but with your cue, it just sparked this memory in me of listening to Metallica and thinking that they were just amazingly badass. And now I think they're just amazingly not badass. I never thought that would change.
Oh, man.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you. Keep going.
But, you know, as far as protests go, my mom got me involved with protesting when I was a very young person. And we protested for farm workers' rights because grape harvesters were being sprayed directly with poison. And then a little bit later on, when I was still pretty young, like maybe 8 years old, we would protest because the government would not recognize HIV/AIDS as a problem. They didn't think it needed to be addressed or was real. So we're trying to get the federal government to address HIV/AIDS, and they refused for a long time. We were marching and letter writing and phone banking to try and, like, can you please help our lesbian, gay, bi, trans family by saying that this is a real crisis? And the federal government's like, no. Even now, they mostly put it on a privatization of healthcare, and really need all of the good antiviral drugs for our HIV and AIDS suffering relatives. So still, you know, and this is like, you know, almost 50 years later.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wish that young people today were taught the type of things that I was taught as a young activist, because I learned how to, you know, go limp. I watched one cop escort two protesters out of a scene, and it should take about six cops to take one protester out of a scene. Mm. If every protester just went limp and didn't help at all, then there's no way the cops could remove them all. They would have to do it over time. It would take hours and hours like it used to. But now people are just like, yes, you can walk me out. If you just take me by the plastic handcuffs, I'll walk right out. That's not how we used to do it. So anyway, like I blame myself a little bit, because it's not like I was down there at the library being like, this is how you resist arrest, without actually resisting arrest just by peacefully protesting your arrest. Because, you know, to like punch a cop is bad and against the law, but to lay there and not help the cop remove you is perfectly legal. You know, you don't have to walk when a cop tells you to walk. If they're going to force you to leave, let them force you to leave. Don't walk out. That's my opinion. That's not legal advice.
We appreciate it, Tawasi. Thank you for calling.
Yep. Have a great morning. And thank you, KBOO. Please, everybody, support KBOO. Go to their website. Click on the link that says donate and support KBOO.
Thank you, Tawasi. That's so helpful for our spring drive. We appreciate it. If other folks want to call, 503-231-8187 is the number. We're talking, what are things that changed in your lifetime that you never thought would? Or what were you protesting for in your youth? We want to know. 503-231-8187.
I'm feeling inspired already. Some of the things that I never thought would happen in my lifetime was the state-by-state legalization of marijuana.
Yeah.
Gay marriage.
There
was a whole lifetime where that wasn't a thing. And, you know, it's pretty cool that people are born out and it's like not even a problem, you know? Paid parental family leave?
Yeah.
I remember watching an episode of The West Wing, and which for listeners, it's not an old show. It's a show, political show with President Bartlet, who's Irish.
Some of Aaron Sorkin's finest work.
I don't know if being sarcastic, but I truly think so.
No, I'm not being sarcastic. It's great. I'm a West Wing fan.
And West Wing, the newsroom was also fantastic.
The newsroom's also good. I feel like it falls off when Olivia Munn joins the cast. But you didn't tune into this show to hear me review the newsroom.
The first season is great.
The first season is good.
But in the West Wing, they have this episode where they were talking about two topics. One was a family, the Family Medical Leave Act. And they were saying that scrap that one because that one will never happen. It's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it was a show and everything, but it definitely was reflective of the people's sentiment at the time. And by golly, look at us now.
Yeah.
Look at us now.
Yeah.
People, and that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen because someone fell out of a coconut tree. This happened in the context of, wait, let me see, what does my back tattoo say? I can't see it.
Yeah, you should have gotten it as a mirror image so you could hold up a mirror and look at your back tattoo when you need to reflect.
A lot of things can change in one person's lifetime, and I think that's whenever someone's like, that's never going to happen, or yeah. When I say to myself, like, oh, this is never going to happen, I think to myself, there are people who thought slavery would never end, and, you know, in the way that it was codified in America. There are people who, like, never thought gay marriage would happen. Like, people thought they could never get married because the government was standing in their way and people fought against it, and
yeah.
Now they can. And you know, it doesn't mean that that's the end, you know, because then right. You have to talk about parental rights and, you know, when it comes to, like hospital stuff, like, and adopting and all of that. But it's a first step, and...
Yeah, I think it's easy to get...
I couldn't think... I couldn't believe, you know, that would happen. So I always say to myself, you didn't think that would happen. People back then didn't think people died for this, to make this a reality.
Yeah.
So what makes you be so hubris that you think that you know enough that about the future that you say this will never happen? That's right. Stupid of you, Tammy. Mm. I say this to myself. I got to talk to myself like this sometimes.
Yeah.
So shout out to the people doing the thing. And we'd love to hear from you. What's something that's changed in your lifetime that you thought never would? And it, again, talks of, you know, morality versus legality. 503-231-8187 is the number. We'd love to hear from you.
You can also message us on the website, kbu.fm. You can message us on Instagram at thegapradio. You can email us, thegapradio@gmail.com. We want to know what you think. What was I going to say? I got so excited about... No, I think you're right. And I think that, I mean, one of the things that I enjoy doing on this show the most is adding back in like context and also like, hey, here's a little bit of recent history. You know, like if we broaden the view slightly, if we don't fall out of a coconut tree.
This is like, it's all coming back to the coconut tree.
It's really hard to not talk about the coconut tree. But like then, it, you know, the disillusionment or the fear and the anger, you know, let's just understand, let's get the lay of the land and let's, you know, not be so myopic to see only our current moment. You know, we have a message from Mike on Instagram. Mike says, I was in high school in the late 80s, which makes me 50-something, never thought I'd see an African-American president, and never thought I'd see gay marriage as mainstream as it is now. When I get down on the way things are moving, those things give me hope.
Mm.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, okay, Mike. Thank you. Althea, you're going to start crying again?
No. My eyes are watery today. I told Sherry when I came in that my eyes were watering. Okay?
Is this true, Sherry? I don't believe
it. Sherry's nodding.
Yes. Althea's so touched. It is touching. It is.
I mean, it's also allergens in the air. What do you want?
The allergens of emotions.
But I'm not iron hearted.
I'm emotional.
Yeah.
I don't. My hands are sweating.
I was gonna make her shake my hand. Prove to me that you're emotional. I'm wet in the eyes. You're wet in the hands.
And we have another caller on the line. I think.
Frances, hi.
You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I never thought Roe v. Wade was passed or came into law about a year before I had my first child, and I never thought I'd see a day when it would be gone. And I think a lot of young women today don't even know what that was like. And it's not, that's not good. But while I was protesting, I was marching for civil rights and protesting against the Vietnam War, and basically against war, the war machine. And that's something that I see has just grown in leaps and bounds. And I'm really disappointed that the young people today who are protesting in the colleges, their protest and how it's being handled and what kind of property damage they did is what's being talked about, other than the reason they're protesting. They're standing up for all the babies that are being killed by these 1,000-pound bombs that are created by the military-industrial complex. There is no humanity involved in these wars. It's all about making money. Mm-hmm. And what these wars are about are absurd. Are we fighting because somebody wants to oppress other people more than they have been, or what? I mean, it's absurd. But I found myself looking up an organization that my mother belonged to years and years and years ago, 50 years ago, called Another Mother for Peace. And I'm happy to see that they are still active and are becoming more active again. And what is disappointing is, especially in civil rights and in this war machine thing, we thought we were doing something. We thought we were making change. And, of course, there has been positive change, but I see a lot of erosion of what was already accomplished. By now, we should be farther than we are.
I think that's, understanding that impatience is, we could be there already if we all just got it together.
It's more like disappointment that we have allowed this, I call it profiteers of conflict. Whatever the conflict is, I just keep it going because we're making money off of it.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm very disappointed. But I think that it's encouraging to see that there are people who get it and there are young people who get it. And I'm really disappointed that right now the media and whoever's running the media doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Or doesn't care to get it because they're making more money this way than actually delving into the reasons why.
Well, Frances, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate your perspective. We appreciate you calling in. We have another caller. Let me say one thing, because I did get a message on the website, also kind of talking about the war. My brother and I both protested the draft during the Vietnam War. One unsuspected casualty was my mother's mental health during that time. I also witnessed my father, a former Marine, only protest by resigning from the local draft board. And we have Marvin on the line as well. Hi, Marvin.
Well, I'm not Marvin, but I am on the line.
This is great.
Hello.
Oh, sorry. Somebody.
Not a problem.
We'll take it.
Tell us what you think, please.
Well, I unfortunately missed most of the rest of your show. I just popped in a few minutes ago, but things I'm disappointed about. I was pretty sure as a younger person that Roe v. Wade was going to be, you know, the law of the land, and that that wouldn't change. And clearly, I was wrong. So that's my big one. And also, not to be snarky about it, but I never thought that the Jewish state would start essentially a Holocaust against another group. And that's more than disappointing. That's horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my two cents.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate you giving us your perspective.
You bet.
We are coming up to the end of our time here on The Gap. I want to thank everybody for calling and for messaging and for being with us this morning. I think it's good to talk about, you know, things that have changed over one's lifetime. You know, what are people protesting for? And also seeing that, you know, that spirit, that will to change, is not dead.
So
as much as people are disappointed, I think, you know, there's a lot of different emotions to move through in times like these and times like all the times. I want to say thank you to everybody for listening. I want to remind folks that this is KBOO's Spring Drive. Avant-garde, alternative. Who's talking to you like this? Just us. Consider supporting us. KBOO.fm/give. You can also text the word KBOO to 44321. You can also message us after the show if you like on Instagram at The Gap Radio. You can email us thegapradio@gmail.com. We love talking to people. Thank you, Tammy, for being here.
Thank you, Althea. Oh, and big shout out to the person who said last week that put lettuce root ball in water. I did it. The lettuce is growing. You're the best.
We're having a great time with that. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Till next time.
See
goodbye.
Ya.
Girls, who run the world? Girls, who run the world? Girls, who run the world? know they won't. What I'm even trying to touch me. What is beat is crazy. This is how they made me. Houston, Texas, baby. This goes out to all my girls. I'm in the club rocking the ladies. Who will buy it for themselves and get more money later? I think I need a barber. None of these niggas burn me. I'm so good with this. I remind you I'm so hood with this. Boy, I'm just playing. Come here, baby. Hope you still like me if you pay me. My persuasion can build a nation. Endless power. Without love, we can devour. You'll do anything for me.
You're tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Postmodernism, a reaction against the ideas and values of modernism. Avant-garde, new, unusual, and experimental ideas. KBOO, a community radio station.